Hey guys, this is Michael Bohm with Youth Apologetics Training. Today we're going to continue going on with this series with Dr. Randy White. We're talking about Mark Batterson's book, The Circle Maker. And in this book, if you guys missed the first couple parts, Mark Batterson is suggesting that if we draw a circle around ourselves, hearken unto Wicca and many other forms of witchcraft. If we draw a circle around ourselves and pray within that circle, we're going to multiply our prayers. Now, it's not just that, okay? He's talking about drawing circles around promises in the Bible, which that turns out to be a train wreck, as you're going to see, as well as he brings up this Honi, the circle maker, that you find in the Talmud. Guys, you've heard me talk about this in the past. The Talmud, again, is a collection of Jewish writings by many rabbis / sages over a large period of time. There is nothing Christian about the Talmud. I get into a lot of the stuff, about the Talmud in my series about Judaism. Whatever the case, we're pulling a story about a man who stands within a circle and says, God, I am not going to move from this circle until you bring rain. And in an arrogant fashion, basically shaking his fist at God and saying, you're going to do what I say or I'm not moving from this circle. That is the type of mentality that we're getting from this book. Friends, I don't know about you, but when I speak to God, I don't want to be demanding anything from the God of the heavens and the universe, the creator of all life. No. That's dangerous ground to be walking on. But anyway, I've gone on long enough. Let's bring Randy White back on. Let's pick up exactly where we left off yesterday and continue talking about the circle maker.
Again, it is used so much in Wicca and New Age, and the whole concept of circle comes in and has, again, been used more by Wicca than anything. And interesting, as I've already mentioned earlier, that that Wicca instruction book talks about making circles. You know, after Batterson tells the story, let me just give you a few lines from page 15. He says, the earth has circled the sun more than 2,000 times since that day Honi drew a circle in the sand. Now, catch this. But God is still looking for circle makers. Now, that's a declaration. And those are the kind of things a discerning person says, well, wait a minute. How do I know God's looking for circle makers? He's not looking for square makers or rectangle makers or, you know, and yet we swallow this stuff. Oh yeah, he's looking for people who will stand and stick their fist in the face of God and demand that they get their way like a big fat baby. God's not looking for this kind of stuff. And yet it's put out there in such a strong way. In fact, his next sentence says, the timeless truths secreted within this ancient legend are as true now as they were then. Now, it's heresy is all it is. There is no timeless truth secreted within that legend. And anyone who comes along and says there's this secret that you need to know about, it's hidden with this ancient legend, that's the kind of stuff you ought to immediately say, I'm getting out of here, because God has given his word, he's given it clear, he's given it plain, he's given it literal, and the secrets have already been revealed to the apostles and the prophets, and they wrote it down in the Bible, and you are leading me the wrong way in the things that you're doing here, and a person ought to just say, I don't want anything to do with it.
Hmm. So basically, Mark Batterson wants us to draw a circle around ourselves, and then start basically demanding from God, you can call it praying, but saying, I'm not leaving the circle until you give me what I want.
Exactly. And you're to go to the Bible and find, he says there are some 3,000 promises in the Bible, but I notice much of what he mentions is promises aren't promises at all. They're statements. about, you know, someone doing something, and he makes that a promise, and he said you circle that promise, and you get within that circle, and you put that promise before God. And this is where you really get into the word of faith and the name it and claim it kind of theology that takes promises that are so much not even there and stakes your life on them and makes demands of God rather than, again, coming in a humility before God. You know, you just think of the publican in the temple and the rich man in the temple. And of course, one is boasting and bragging before God, and the other one is coming so silently, just saying, you know, forgive me, God, I'm a sinner. And we know which one went away right with God. And I think what we need is a great humility before God. In fact, I mentioned that Jewish people today don't interpret the story of Homi the same way we do. And also remember the Jewish people today, they go before God with a yarmulke on their head. And the symbolism of that yarmulke is to remind them there's somebody above me. I can't stand the arrogant and bold before God. There's somebody above me, and I need to bow down before him. And though of course there's a mutual exclusiveness between Judaism and Christianity, and that we have accepted Jesus Christ as the Messiah, even the Jewish people don't accept this Jewish legend like Mark Batterson does.
Right, right. Yeah, that yarmulke is supposed to symbolize the eyes of God, that weight on your head. It's like the gaze of God on the back of your head.
That's right.
Watching your every move. I like that. That's kind of neat. In the Circle Maker, he uses some other examples from the Bible, supposedly to try and support his claim that we should be making circles, drawing circles around promises and the like. One of them is Joshua circling around Jericho. Remember seeing that one. Was there any others from the Bible, and do you have anything to say about that?
Yeah, you know, as he comes, of course, he uses that that Joshua story and that Jericho march. And the way he's a good storyteller. The problem with a good storyteller is they don't always tell the truth. And he, for example, comes into the story about Jericho, and he talks about with each circle their stride grew longer and stronger, and with each circle a holy confidence was building pressure inside their souls, and by the seventh day their faith was ready to pop. Well, that sounds good, but I don't have a clue whether or not that's true. As far as I know, each step along the way, they may have gotten more tired than they were and began to wonder if God was ever going to do anything. You know, it could have gone either way. And he takes things like this, and, of course, he then builds that Jericho march into a promise. And says, because this happened in history, then you can begin the circle. And he asks what I think is just a dumb question, and that is, what is your Jericho? Well, Jericho was a one-time event in history. And there's no pattern, as he says, in Jericho. And so he comes together through all of this, and he talks about, I believe it's 35 or 40 times in the book, he says, God told me, God revealed to me, God prompted to me, the Spirit led me to know, and God gave me a revelation. Just over and over in that book, he does this. And the promises that he brings about in this book are even promises that we can just make up and claim for ourselves. One of the other ones he uses is Moses, for example, when Abraham was told, I'm giving you every square inch of every bit of this land you'll step foot on. And
oh, that was Joshua.
Yeah, yes, excuse me. And Batterson, he's relating this to something in his life, and he comes and says, I had a Homi-like confidence that this promise had been transferred to me. Now, what arrogance, by the way, that the promises to the forefathers and the patriarchs have now been passed over to me. And he takes another example. It's on page 35 of his book. He says, there are situations where you need to grab hold of the horns of the altar and refuse to let go until God answers. Well, again, here's a biblical analogy or reference, grabbing hold of the horns of the altar. And he takes that as a positive thing, as a promise, grab hold of the horns of the altar and refuse to let go until God answers you. I'm going to talk here that someone actually goes and studies when a person would grab hold of the horns of the altar. They find out the only time you do that is when you accidentally killed somebody and you needed a place of safety. Well, you know, that doesn't really relate to me bringing my dreams, but he covers himself here. Batterson does.
That's biblical.
Yeah, exactly. Batterson says, when imagination is sacrificed on the altar of logic, God is robbed of the glory that rightly belongs to him. Again, there's a declaration. And if you think about what that says, when imagination is sacrificed on the altar of logic, God is robbed of his glory. In other words, put logic out the window and use your imagination. Just imagine what the scripture might mean for you if you twisted it and turned it and made it mean whatever you wanted. So you can make Balaam into the most respected ancient prophet in the world. You can make the march around Jericho into a promise. You can make the promises to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joseph transferred over to you. On and on you can go if you just use your imagination. Now, if anybody brings some logic in here, they're going to have a problem with it, because logic just doesn't work with the circle maker. And this is why he comes and says, hey, you know, don't sacrifice imagination on the altar of logic. So, you know, you've got the quail promise, the Jericho promise, Elijah as he prayed for rain. And, you know, Elijah, he says, had to circle the promise via his persistent prayers, and on, taking promises that don't belong to us, and in most cases are not even promises, and claiming them. It's almost a rewrite of scripture to make the circle maker work.
Mm. It sounds like a great slogan for the emergent church, saying, you know, that don't sacrifice imagination on the altar of logic. Is that how it goes?
Yeah, that's right.
That sounds like a perfect tagline for an emergent church, because that's exactly what you see. And he's poisoned the well now at this point. If you try to actually bring the Bible back into this and say, hey, whoa, you know, right, he's going to go back to that little slogan and use that. I mean, man.
Exactly.
It bothers me that kind of stuff happens in churches.
Yeah, and this is why a lot of your young listeners are being raised in churches that are sacrificing logic, honestly. And the sermons that are given are about how to be a person of impact, how to achieve your dreams, you know, how to have greatness, how to be a person of influence, how to make it to the top. And scriptures are used used with great imagination in order to make this work. And then they get out to college or into the real world, and they find out, you know, this world kind of works on logic. And this world works on the science, and it works on fact. And they get out there and they just don't have enough biblical fact to be a good apologist, a defender, as they go out, and they see fact with all the fiction that have been shoved down their throat in Mark Batterson kind of books, and 80% of them drop out because they don't know the Word of God. And if they knew the Word of God, it stands up to the fact of science and the fact of math and the fact of engineering and all these things that are out there, and the fact of pain and suffering in the world, and the Bible holds true against all of these things and with all of these things in such a strong way that if a teenager will come, a young person, a college student will come and immerse themselves in understanding the logic of God's Word, the truth of God's Word, the fact of God's Word, that is what will strengthen them through the fiery glass to come.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and stop right there. Friends, tomorrow we'll pick right up where we left off here today, and we will finish this short series on the Circle Maker. Again, this is Dr. Randy White of randywhiteministries.org. Again, he also has a radio show, Ask the Theologian. You got to check him out. Go out to his website, check him out. Friends, if you'd like to chat about this, you can catch me on Google+, Facebook, and Twitter. And with that, I love you guys, and I'll see you tomorrow.